So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 6. Brahma satisfies Lord Shiva, text 44. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Svam
Eva
Dharma
Para
Sasarjita Tatarj Advaram Tvaya
Eva
Loke Abhasita Cha Setava Yam Brahmana Shadayate Dhritavrata Nameva Dharmata Dugabi Pateye Dakshina Srutena Satar Dihadaram
Dakshina Srutena Satar Dihadaram
Vayaiva Loke Vashitascha Setavo
Vayaiva Loke Vashitascha Setavo
Yan Bhamana Shadna Dete Dritavrata
Yan Bhamana Shadna Dritavrata
Tva Benefit derived from religion and economic development. Abhipattaye, making him the cause. Sasarjita, created. Advaram, sacrifices. Vaya, by youth. Cha, and Setava, respect for Varnashrama infants,
respect very much.
Dridhavrata, taking it as a vow. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, Your Lordship has introduced the system of sacrifices through the agency of Daksha. And thus one may derive the benefits of religious activities and economic development. Under your regulative principle, the institution of the four varnas and ashramas is respected. The Brahmins therefore vow to follow this system strictly. Purport. The Vedic system of varna and ashrama is never to be neglected. But these divisions are created by the Supreme Lord Himself for the upkeep of social and religious order in human society. The Brahmanas, as the intelligent class of men in society, must vow to steadily respect this regulative principle. The tendency in this age of Kali is to make a classless society. Spiritual orders will not bring fulfillment of the idea of a classless society. One should strictly observe the principles of Varna and Ashram for the satisfaction of the Creator, for as stated in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna, that the four orders of the social system, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, are all His creation. They should act according to the regulated principles of this institution and satisfy the Lord, just as the different parts of the body will engage in the service of the whole. The whole is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Virat Rupa, or universal form. The Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are respectively the mouth, arms, abdomen, and legs of the universal form of the Lord. As long as they are engaged in the service of the complete whole, their position is secure, otherwise they fall down from their respective positions and become degraded.
Shri Guru,
Shri Jata Gada Kamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sangra Jata Sahagana Raghana Tan Vita Tan Sujiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Svaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine.
So these four social orders are very important thing. And the most important of all the four orders is the Brahmins. They are compared to the head. Shudras are legs, Vaishyas the belly, Kshatriya the arm, Brahman the head. Just consider the example. Somebody sometimes have their legs amputated, but they still live. Even they, someone, their stomach is no longer working, they can be fed intravenously. Somebody may have their arms cut off also. They can still live, but if you have your head cut off, so the Brahmins are most important. So Prabhupada has established, he has recreated a class of Brahmanas. That is the purpose of ISKCON, to educate a class of Brahmins. And from the Brahmin, then all the other sorcerers can come, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So our duty is to be Brahmanas. Samadhamastapatsatsam chantirarjama mevacha gyanavigana mastakam brahmakarmas pavabhajam. Krishna describes the qualities of the Brahmins in Bhagavad Gita. Controlling the senses, you see, sama. Sama means sameness, equanimity. In happiness and distress, the Brahmana is not bouncing around psychologically, you see. He sees happiness and distress as the same thing. Krishna's mercy. Shama Dhamma. Dhamma is in control of his senses. Shama Dhamma Tapa. He's austere. He rises early in the morning. He takes Shama Shama Dhamma Tapa Shalcham. He rises early in Shalcham. He takes his bath at least two or three times a day. Brahmana. Chantir, he's very peaceful. Chantir Arjavam, he's very honest. He always speaks the truth. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not afraid to speak the truth. Of course, he knows also when to speak and when not to speak. Sometimes one should not speak. Prabhupada gives this example in the light of the Bhagavat. The rivers, the example is the rivers flow in the rainy season, they're dry during the dry season. The Brahman, he knows when to speak and when not to speak. When it's proper to speak, he can speak unlimitedly. When it's not proper to speak, he cannot even say a word. He knows very well when to speak and when not to speak. They have full faith in the scriptures, full faith in the Lord. They are become guru, deliver the whole world. You see, Brahman means guru, teacher. We're all teachers. We're all meant to be teachers. Lord Chaitanya ordered us all to be teachers or gurus, teachers of the science of bhakti. The Brahmins, they're the teachers of the society. Prabhupada become guru, deliver the world. So our duty as the Brahmin class is to educate the entire world in the science of Krishna. That will deliver them. As Prabhupada stated, even if they read one word of these books, their life will be changed. So we should always be living embodiments of these books. The books are the standard of knowledge. So we have to be living embodiments. It's not that they read the books and they come to the temple and they see people not following the books. You see, we have to be living embodiments of what's written in Prabhupada's books. Although they're doing a disservice to Srila Prabhupada. We have to be living our every thought, our every word, our every deed in all times, places and circumstances should be a reflection of what is there in the books. Then we're actually brahmanas, otherwise we're kripanas, miserly people. You see. Brahman means very liberal, very giving. He's always giving, 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 giving. He's full of love, he's full of compassion. He's always giving Krishna, giving Krishna, giving Krishna, giving Krishna to the world around him. Because he understands this whole world is suffering now without Krishna consciousness. Even though they may appear to be happy, you know, just like on the Harinam party, so many people look, they're happy, you know, they're sitting around in the restaurants, chatting, smoking cigarettes, drinking beer. They look, oh yeah, we're really happy, we're having a great time, you know, here in downtown Melbourne. But actually they're all miserable, it's all fake. There's no real happiness. These people are all miserable. The whole material world, everybody is miserable, all the way from Brahmaloka down to Pataloka. It's a place of misery. They're faking it. There was an old pop song, an old song back in the 60s. I'm not really making it, I'm just faking it. And that's what it is. Nobody's happy, they're just pretending to be happy. No one's happy here. Everybody is miserable in this place. That's a fact. So, we, the Brahmin class, being taught, being educated by Srila Prabhupada, and taught how to become Brahmana. We have a duty now to educate, to attract and enlighten the entire human society. This human life is not meant for sense enjoyment. If you want sense enjoyment, you're in the wrong species. That's for the animals. It's not for the human beings. The human being is meant for self-realization. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have a human form. You are meant to realize the Supreme Absolute Truth. That is the purpose of your human body. They're very proud, you see. The dog is running down the street and I'm driving in my car and I can outrace the dog. Ha 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 ha. You see. I can fly faster than a bird. They're very proud of their, they're now faster, you know, than the animals. But they're actually simply the same mentality of an animal and a dog. You see, the dog is running down the street, they're driving down the street in the car. It's the same mentality. So we should come out of this animalistic mentality, this animalistic nature, which we're totally absorbed in right now, really. We should come out of it. We should come to the transcendental platform. Understand, jivara svarupa hoy krishnera nitya das. I'm not this body. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. I'm not meant to be the enjoyer of this ridiculous place. I'm meant to be the servant of Krishna. That's my actual identity. You see? So it's not just theoretical. We have to make it practical. We have to tangibly engage our thoughts, words and deeds in all times, places and circumstances in the service of Krishna. We have to master this art. It's called Bhakti Yoga. It's not just a slogan. It's something you have to do at every minute, with every thought, with every word and every deed. You have to dovetail everything with Krishna. And if you're not, you're just punishing yourself by prolonging your repetition in the cycle of birth and death. But if you actually master this art of how to connect with Krishna, your liberated soul, this instant nirvana, you immediately become ecstatic. When you actually tune in to your true nature as a spiritual being, and you make that determined vow that from now on, my every thought, my every word, my every deed will be for Krishna, under the direction of my Guru and Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas, I will now engage absolutely everything in Krishna's service without any deviation. When you take that firm vow within your heart, you're liberated so already. You're already liberated. Even though you're still in the process of liberation, you're liberated. Just like when you get in the shower, you're considered clean even though you're still dirty because you're in the shower. You see? So once we embrace this process of sadhana bhakti, even though we have not yet, just by being in the process, that's as good as being liberated, you see, because we're seeing Krishna in the deity form, we're experiencing Krishna in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Experiencing Krishna in prasadam, you see. This reminds me, actually, when I first had the great opportunity to associate with His Divine Grace. This was July of 1971. I'd heard about Prabhupada, you know, so many things, but I haven't seen him yet. It's a big exciting thing. Go to the airport and Prabhupada's coming. Prabhupada didn't speak anything at the airport, but we saw him. And then straight from the airport, we all went to the Prabhupada and everybody else, we all went to the Ratha Yatra site in Golden Gate Park. And Prabhupada got up on Lady Subhadra's cart, Subhadra Devi's cart, and he gave a wonderful lecture. Actually, there's about 300 devotees, about 3,000 hippies. He gave a lecture that the hippies really liked. And the devotees, of course, loved it too. But he said, "You have all seen God. You have all seen God," he told us. Because Krishna says, "I am the light of the sun and the moon." And he said, "Every time you drink water," and we drink water once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. Every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water. You immediately become Krishna conscious. So just by drinking water, you can become Krishna conscious. It's not difficult. See how easy it is? Every time you drink water, you simply remember Krishna. Krishna is the taste of the water. Any liquid thing, even watermelon juice. Any liquid thing, actually. So Prabhupada said, it's not very difficult to become Krishna conscious. Simply you have to practice. So, what's holding us back? Nothing, except stupidity and laziness. So don't be stupid, don't be lazy, don't be crazy, you see. Embrace this process that from now on, every thought, every word, every deed, and every situation must be according to Prabhupada's instructions. With no deviations, kick it out. If a thought is not Krishna conscious, kick it out. If I'm speaking something that is not Krishna conscious, seal those damn lips right now. If I'm doing something that is not Krishna conscious, stop. It's simple. If one makes that determination, you're liberated. You're liberated. And that liberation, of course, will become mature in due course, where you can actually see Krishna directly, as Prabhupada told me. So, What can I say?
Chant, be happy.
Bliss out. Tune in, turn on, and bliss out. That's our philosophy. You see? Tune in to Krishna, turn on your spiritual identity, and relish the nectar. You know, be who you are. Be who you actually are. Don't try to be that body. The material society pushes us into trying to be the body, but you can't be your body. You see? And they say, well, you must be a very good shirt. How can I be a shirt? I'm only wearing it. You must be a good shirt. How can I be a shirt? You must be a very good kurta. I can't be this kurta, I'm just wearing it. So the body is the same. They say, with kids we're taught, be a good little boy, be a good little girl, you see. But how can I be a good little boy or a good little girl? I'm not really even a boy or a girl, it's just a covering, it's the garment, you see. So we have to, you know, come out this plasma and trying to be what we're not. It's crazy, it's insanity, it's madness, it's lunacy. It's criminal, actually. The way we're educated in this material world, it's criminality. It's demoniac. The way we're being mistrained here, miseducated. So, by the grace of Krishna, we've come in contact with this greatest acharya, the most empowered acharya. His divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Padivajaka Charnja Asta Parivara Shishimad. A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Somehow or other, whether it's by good fortune or previous karma, whatever it is, we've all come in contact with Prabhupada's teachings. Every one of us here. So, let's take advantage of it. Let's take advantage of the fact we've come in contact with this greatest acharya, directly or indirectly. It's the same thing. Whether his disciple or a grand disciple or aspiring grand disciple, we're all connected with him. We're all in his shelter, his lotus feet. So if we take advantage of this facility that Krishna has given us, you see, Tadviri paripatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam ganinastatva darshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Not that they've just seen the truth, they're always seeing the truth at every minute. They're constantly absorbed in experiencing the Supreme Truth. Therefore, they can enlighten you. So we've gotten that great mercy of associating with such a personality who's seeing the truth at every minute. And by hearing from him, by serving him, by trying to love him, you see. I remember how adorable and lovable Prabhupada was when he was here for us. He was just amazing. Everyone loved Prabhupada, you see. He was so lovable, isn't it? Yeah. I remember I was just coming around. I was a hippie singer-songwriter looking for spiritual enlightenment. And I'm hanging around, coming to these lectures of Vishnu Janaswamy there in Austin. It was so amazing. We just heard about him. We didn't see him. We just heard Vishnu Janaswamy talking about him. And it was so amazing. There was one little girl, and she heard, just a little tiny girl, she heard about Prabhupada, and she would go, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Just the way she would say Prabhupada, your heart would melt. Just a little girl. She heard about him. It's like the most wonderful thing in her life that she had ever experienced was to hear about Prabhupada. That was the most, this little girl. That was like the most wonderful experience, just to hear about Prabhupada. She would just say, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. She would just call out the name. It was so amazing. So finally we got to see him, but we went on just hearing about this great personality. So, we take advantage, even though some of you have not really seen Prabhupada, but even though we hadn't seen him either that time, you see. And I wanted to keep my independence. Being a singer-songwriter, I think, well, I'll be like George Harrison, you know, come up with some, be a, write my own hit songs, be a famous singer-songwriter. Not be a brahmachari, you know. But I was living in the temple because I had nowhere else to stay at the time, and they welcomed me. I was thinking if I can get some more inspiration for writing songs here by, you know, learning more about the philosophy. They were trying to convince me to surrender, but I went, no. But then one day, we got that Radha Krishna Temple album came out. It was a new thing. We didn't know that the radio station handed it to us. They didn't want to play it, thought it was too spiritual. So we played it constantly. And we were really amazed to hear. I was so actually overwhelmed by hearing the loving mood of those devotees. They would sing the Gravastakam prayer. That convinced me to be surrendered, you see. Because I realized they're relishing on a much higher plane than me. Because they've given themselves to Prabhupada, they are relishing a nectar. I could hear the love in their voices. I wasn't experiencing love like that. I knew they were experiencing love on a pure platform. I was on, my experience of love was lust, dirty, so-called love, you see. But they were experiencing love on a very, very, very high platform. It was unlimitedly sweet. So when I realized that turned me around. Yeah. Wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? So that turned me around. That loving mood of the devotees for the spiritual master, our beloved Srila Prabhupada, that is an amazing thing. Why? Because in this material world, we don't actually experience love, you see. It's all dirty. I love you, honey. I want to have sex with you, honey. To gratify my genitals, honey. It's gross. The so-called love here, you see. It's not pure. It doesn't really satisfy. But real love, love of God is, and love of the devotee of God, you see, that takes us far beyond the so-called love of this material world, which is actually hellish nightmare. It takes us into that one other dimension, the spiritual dimension, where life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. So kindly, my dear ladies and gentlemen, Prabhu's, Mataji's, guests, etc., please take advantage of this process. Make your life perfect. Do not cheat yourself of what you're actually meant to obtain in this human form. You have come to this human form after thousands and millions of lifetimes in a lower species, going through all kinds of hellish quagmires. And species after species after species, so many difficulties you've gone through. Now you have this human form, please, I'm begging you, please take this process very seriously now. Make your life perfect. Get out of the cycle of birth and death. Go back to your original identity that you once had in the spiritual world before you foolishly envied the Lord and fell down here into this material hell. You see, please get back to your original identity. Spiritual master will take you there. These teachings will take you there. Follow this pathway of Krishna consciousness and you will regain your original identity in Krishna's pastimes, in his original form or one of his expanded forms. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer them now. Wow, too many questions. Okay, you mentioned that we should see everything in connection with Krishna. My question is, then how can I see Krishna's hand in everything that is happening in my life? Well, by understanding that Krishna is acting in it, it's a matter of philosophical understanding. Prabhupada told us, everything is acting under the direction of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Have faith in what Prabhupada said. By having faith, it will gradually become manifest and revealed to you. You just have faith in the principle. You mentioned that we should live what Prabhupada has mentioned in his books, but I forget what I read in the books. Then read them again and again and again. Hear the classes again and again. Here you can hear recordings of lectures. You got to hear, 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 hear. And that way your power memory will gradually become strong. If Krishna creates the world, why do bad things happen in the world? This is the prison. Just like the government wants everything going nicely, but some people don't. They deviate from the government, so they're put in the prison. This material is a prison for those who are not obeying the laws of God. So this is actually a good play thing also, because it reforms us and brings us back to being pure devotees of Krishna. If we take proper advantage of our situation right now, when we hear that some age, but by spiritual qualities, the highest conception of seniority is divine qualities. Who is manifesting divine qualities? That's the actual meaning of senior. Senior sometimes means they've been in the movement longer, but that's not as important as developing the divine qualities. I react to it when it happens to me, and how should I react when it happens to other fellow devotees? But it could also be that, but actually it's the duty of the seniors to correct the juniors. So that's the other way. It could be a so-called senior is not acting properly, or it could be a senior is actually acting properly to correct you for your nonsense. That's the other side of the coin. There's both sides. We have to understand both sides of the coin. It could be that actually you did something stupid and you need to be straightened out. You're really puffed up and you don't realize you're so puffed up, you don't even admit your own mistakes. And the senior devotee is pointing, you think it is an insult, but actually it's a blessing. He's pointing out to you what a rascal you actually are. How bad your attitude is, how undisciplined you are in your activities. You're like an animal, practically speaking. It could be the other side of the coin too. So you have to be... have to be aware of it. There's two sides of the coin. The best thing is to always be humble and think, well, that must be my nonsense. That's the safest position. When in doubt, always take the humble position. I feel that overcoming sex desire is difficult. Actually, it's not. If you want, get over it. If you want to hang on to your sex desire, you'll never get over it. If you want to get out of that damn disease, you can get over it. It's not difficult. I feel that overcoming sex desire is difficult, but scriptures glorify it. Scriptures glorify it? No. In your lectures, you're encouraged as well. Please explain the importance of celibacy. Actually, we're all meant to be celibate here. Even the householders. They don't have sex either, except for procreation. Prabhupada said to have sex only for procreation, that is brahmachari. So actually, we are all meant to be celibate brahmachari, you see. Even the householders. The householder, he's not interested in sex. But if he and his wife want to have children, they utilize sex in the service of Krishna. They're not interested in sex enjoyment. I'm a teenager. Oh, wait a minute. You're not your body. What do you mean you're a teenager? Actually, in one sense you are, because we're all eternal teenagers. Okay, I'm a teenager and I feel that Krishna Ganga is not realistic modern science, my dear teenager Prabhu. You don't realize what's going on in the universe. You're thinking that Dr. Stephen Hawking really knows what's going on here, but he really doesn't. He's a complete fool and a rascal. Actually, there are these things described in the scriptures all going on. Just because NASA hasn't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I mean, come on. Stop believing what you see on television. You realize these the Vedas are actually telling us what's out there. Because we don't see it, well, that's our limited vision. That's so. Why doesn't Krishna give punishment to people who don't do good things? He is punishing. The punishment, everybody gets their punishment. The law of karma is very strict. Everybody who does nonsense does get punished, without exception. Why Krishna gives punishment to people who doesn't do good things, like if I swear Krishna should punish as at times not after I die. Sometimes the punishment comes in your next life also. Because actually you don't really die, you just go from body to body to body. You see? Everybody gets their just rewards. Now sometimes a sinful person doesn't appear to be punished because they have a mixture of good and bad karma, you see. Just like Hitler, for example. He was enjoying a very prestigious, powerful position, even though he was engaged in so much sin because of his previous pious activities. But now he's spoiling it by all the sinful activity. So everybody has a mixture of good and bad karma. You get rewards for your good karma, you get punished for your bad karma. That's simply his own past pious activities. He's burning it off, and as soon as it's burned off, he's going to be in a hellish situation, a leper or something like that. In the morning, the mode of goodness is strong, so easier to be aware of our thoughts, words, and actions. Later in the day, ignorance and passion increase and is overwhelming. How to be immune from these influences? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This elevates you to the transcendental plane beyond the modes of nature. And on the transcendental plane, the mode of goodness is naturally powerful. There are many meditation techniques, but put forth by many organizations. And for a common man, the perception of ISKCON is just like other organizations who are boosting their own techniques and making money. Then for such a person, how do we convince that Krishna is the absolute truth and ISKCON is the ultimate solution to achieve one goal of life? Well, you have to be convinced yourself. If you think this is one of those organizations, you won't convince anybody. If you're convinced, the fact is these other organizations are bogus. My first introduction to meditation was by another organization. Actually, my first association with self-realization was with the SRF, the Self-Realization Fellowship. And they had me lighting a candle, turning off the lights, and sitting in the room and staring at a candle. That was my first attempt at meditation. Until one of my friends knocked on the door and freaked out, thinking that I'd been haunted by a ghost or something. I got up from my candle meditation to answer the door, and some girl that I knew, she came by to visit, and she freaked out, and she saw me, like I was haunted by a ghost. So I decided not to do the candle meditation anymore. I actually burned all the lessons, and then I went to Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and I was given my secret mantra, I'm 20 minutes twice a day silent, and that didn't work either. So it didn't work, you see, but the thing is you can go to these other organizations, but you're not going to get self-realization. You may think you have it, but you're not really going to get self-realization because they're all bogus, money-making hypesters, really. I'm telling the truth from my own experience. If you, outside of the teachings of Krishna consciousness, it's illusion, it's confusion and profusion. If you want actually to get connected, you have to take Krishna is the supreme authority, and any teaching which is deviating from Krishna's teaching is bogus, and it won't liberate you. I don't care what they tell you, it's not going to work. You will not get liberated unless you actually take the teachings that are coming from the authority, Krishna, or his bona fide representative. So if you're convinced, you can convince the whole world. That's a fact. You have to make your own conviction very strong by taking this process in toto, embracing pure bhakti. Don't be a semi-devotee. You become the pure devotee who's qualified to see Krishna face to face. Then you convince the whole world. How to understand, know, in what ashram one belongs. Well, everyone starts off as a brahmachari in the Vedic system. That's the ashram for everybody. Prabhupada said it's the ashram for those who are attached and for those who are detached. In the Vedic system, the standard procedure is at the age of 5, every boy goes to the Gurukula, the ashram of the spiritual master. He spends 20 years being trained as brahmachari. Tapasa brahmacharena shamena cha jagena ta. Very nice training. Tapasa brahmacharena from the age of 5 to 20. Then 25. And then at the age of 25, that's the time to choose. Stay brahmachari or get married, you see. And so the guru can help him, actually. The thing is, you take initiation. The first thing is you have to be situated at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. That's the first thing. That's more important than what ashram you're going to be in. Most important thing is you become initiated disciple of the bona fide spiritual master. And then, with his help, in that position of being surrendered to the guru, it'll be very clear to you whether you should be a brahmachari or a sannyasi candidate, an eventual sannyasi candidate. So the real thing is you surrender to Krishna and guru, and then your ashram will become very clear. Can you please share the experience when you met Prabhupada in person? Since I did mention meeting him in the lecture, this question is bona fide according to the instruction I've gotten from the authorities here to only ask questions that relate to the class. But I did mention meeting Prabhupada in the class, so I can... meeting Prabhupada in person? Yeah, I'll give a little story. Why not? It's nice for me to remember. Of course, the Ratha Yatra was, I was just one in the crowd seeing Prabhupada at the airport and seeing him in the Ratha Yatra. But I actually had a personal encounter with him in Los Angeles. It was very sweet. Prabhupada, after the Ratha Yatra, we all went to Los Angeles, and Prabhupada was there, but what was the world headquarters at that time in Los Angeles, on Watsika Avenue. So Prabhupada would every day go on the morning walk. They would drive him to the beach or the park, and he would go on the walk, and they would drive him back to the temple after the walk. So it was a very nice system. After the walk, everybody would greet Prabhupada. We'd line up down the sidewalk. Every devotee would have a flower. And Prabhupada would have a basket of flowers. And we would give Prabhupada a flower, and he would give us one. You had your own, every devotee had their own moment, one-on-one. Just you and Prabhupada. For 2 seconds, it's you and Prabhupada. Just you and Prabhupada. You hand him a flower, and he hands you a flower. What a nice thing. I did that. I was in front of the queue just behind Vishnu John Swami. He got a hug. Wow. That was really sweet. I wasn't envious because I was one of his men. I felt I was getting hugged at the same time as he got hugged because I was one of his men, you see. But then Prabhupada went on down the line, and he's walking down the sidewalk, and he goes, there's a steps up there into the temple, and then he goes like this to the back where his quarters are. So I stood up on the steps to get another darshan of Prabhupada as he comes down the sidewalk, right? I call it, when you see Prabhupada, it's a very special thing. Just like if you could see Krishna with your own eyes, how powerful it would be. Seeing Prabhupada is just like seeing Krishna. That's how powerful it was, you see. So I call it drinking Prabhupada. Darshan means drinking Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. You can understand the intensity and the potency of that seeing Prabhupada. So, I was standing there to get the drink Prabhupada into my heart through my eyes as he was walking by. And he noticed, well, here's some character. I don't know what he thought about me because I was kind of a wild renegade character from Texas, But here's some devotee. He looked up at me. Here's some devotee who's not in the queue. I'm getting out of the queues, And he Prabhupada saw me up there. He was wondering if I got in a flower now. Because I wasn't in the queue. So he looked at me like He held up a flower, like, did you get a flower yet? He gave me like body language and facial expression, you know, did you get a flower yet? And I held out my flower and showed him and nodded, yes, Prabhupada got my flower. So it was, he took, that was that one little moment, you know, but it was so special. Prabhupada cared about me. But here's someone who's not in the queue, maybe he didn't get a flower yet. Wanted to make sure I'd gotten that flower, you know. It was so, it's such a powerful thing, you know. So now I have this flower that Prabhupada had given me, you know. Now, householder, he can, they could put a nice glass case, you know, put it in his mantle, a suit, for his whole life, keep that flower Prabhupada gave, you know. But I'm a brahmachari, what are you going to do, you know? You just throw your stuff in the closet at night and sleep on the floor, right? Among with all the brahmacharis, you don't have anything like that. So I just ate the flower. I merged it in my body. I'm not going to lose this flower. I'm just going to eat it. I ate that flower. So that was a very nice experience I had with Prabhupada. Of course, I had many letters, many correspondences. I don't have time to get into those, but many, many wonderful letters from Prabhupada. That's the most powerful thing, an instruction from Prabhupada is the most powerful thing. Will Krishna meet me face to face? You will meet Krishna face to face when you become qualified as described in the Brahma Samhita. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadai vrahidayeshi valokayanti yang shamashunya ramachin jaganasvarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shamasundar, Krishna himself with inconceivable and innumerable attributes from the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So when you can tinge your eyes with the salve of love, premanjana, prema means love, anjana means ointment. Even in English language there's a word ungament, which is another word for ointment. So premanjana, premanjana. See the connection, etymological connection. Premanjana, premanjana. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena. When you anoint your eyes with the salve of love of God, then you will see Krishna. You will see Krishna's present before you. If so, what can I, a living entity, do to see him, to go near him? Well, it's very simple. You just have to surrender to the bona fide spiritual master. And that's the system. You take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. You accept his order as your very life and soul. You fully dedicate yourself to serving Guru and Krishna. And by that purificatory process of bhakti 24/7, with every thought, word, and deed, and every time, place, and circumstance, that beautiful, magical, wondrous day, splendorous day, will actually come and Krishna will become revealed to you. You'll see him. It'll become manifest. You'll see Krishna directly, face to face. That day is awaiting every one of us. So let's go for it, y'all, as we say in Texas. Let's go for it. Let's embrace bhakti as our very life and soul. That from now on, I have no business except to please Krishna and Guru with my every thought and word and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.